Hello and welcome to the Cocoa Blend Podcast. I am Jamie Newton Knight, your host, and I'm so glad that you are here. If you are new here, welcome, welcome, welcome. I hope you enjoy your stay. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. Listen, we're so glad to have you here. Listen, we're on this journey of hearing amazing stories, and I call what we are on as a road trip. So even though this is a podcast, each episode is going to be a stop on our road trip. So at the beginning of last episode, I shared how the roadmap even came to be. So if you haven't heard it, or if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back to the last episode and listen so you can see what I'm talking about. Like, what is she talking about? Blend roadmap. What is that? Go back and listen so you can see what it's all about. Okay. Take a listen. In this episode, we're going to hear yet another amazing story from another amazing guest. But on this stop, we're going to talk about the L in the blend roadmap. Label it and let it go. So labeling it is just another way of saying identify. Identify the exact thing that you're feeling or that you have felt that has been difficult to make, that has been making it difficult for you to co-parent. Recognize the negative impact that it's had on your co-parenting relationship, and you need to start to make steps or take steps into letting those things go. Positive steps into letting things go. So, in order for you to be able to even let anything go, you first have to deal with the feeling, right? So, you have to acknowledge the feeling. If you're mad, say I'm mad. If you're happy, say I'm happy. If you're angry, say I'm angry. Whatever took place between the two of us made me furious, right? I think about the movie Diary of a Mad Black Woman when Orlando met Helen and she said, and he said, "You're just another bitter black woman." And she was like, "I'm not bitter. I'm mad as hell." That's labeling it, okay? After that, she was able to learn to let it go through therapy, right? However, she had to first label the thing she was feeling. So you have to label it. You have to identify what it is so that you can go get to the process of letting it go. Because letting it go is going to be so helpful for you. So, in this episode, you are going to hear yet another amazing story. And this time you are going to hear someone talk about their ability and or struggles with labeling it and letting go. So sit back, relax. Strap on your seatbelt because you are on this road trip with me, right? And we got to be safe. So strap on your seatbelt and get ready for our next stop on the blend roadmap. Label it and let it go. God bless. Hello and welcome to the Cocoa Blend Podcast. I am your host, Jamie Newton Knight. I am the Motherhood Mastery Mentor and the founder of Blended Black Family. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. This is my podcast, like my coming out, my grand opening. I don't know what exactly to call it. But so here at Blended Black Family, we follow a simple five-step framework. It is an acronym for blend, and it's be honest, be open, be real. If you want to learn more about what the acronyms mean and get deeper, I'll have that in the show notes. L is let it go and label it. E is expect change. You can either expect resistance or acceptance. N is negotiate and or compromise. And D is don't rush the process. Okay. Listen, the framework works, but within that framework, right, is a process. So there's the healing process, there's the acknowledgement process, there's setting boundaries, and there's communication. And today, our guest is going to be talking to you about her journey with the healing process. So here's what I need you to do, okay? I need you to go and grab whatever it is you want to drink. I don't know. Listen, I'm not in your household and I can't tell people what to drink, but for me, I am sipping on some Swiss Miss hot chocolate, and that's in the theme of the cocoa blend. Okay, so I'm sipping on some hot cocoa, and Swiss Miss is the OG of cocoa. So we had to go old school because this is the original. I'm gonna look back on this podcast and say, Tamika, do you remember when I was doing the podcast from my room? Do you remember when it was on my couch and me and Tamika gonna be in studio? So listen, we had to get the OG hot cocoa to go with this OG original podcast episode. So I want you to grab your drinks. I want you to grab a pen and paper, journal, whatever you choose, because let me tell you something about my good sis, okay? She's going to be dropping some gems, and you're going to need these notes. So make sure that you are ready. Make sure you have your pen and your paper or your journal or whatever you choose to do. I want you to sit back, relax, get comfortable, and enjoy the podcast. So today, our host is Tamika Thomas. She is my good sis, my friend, my prayer partner, and I'm going to let her introduce herself. Let's get into it. Hey, hey, sis.
Amy. Oh my gosh, I am so proud of you. I feel like this has been one of those things that we talked about for years, sis, and it's here. It is here. And so it is so important, like Jamie said, to grab your notebooks, because there are things that we will talk about on this podcast that we will discuss, and you will look back and say, I wanted to do that. And then 3 years from now, 2 years from now, they will be here. But just like I teach my community, we put it on paper on purpose. But my name is Tamika Thomas, and I am the mother of eight. We are a blended family, of course. My husband, how do I say, I got 5 children from him. I inherited, that's the word I was looking for. I inherited 5 children from my husband when we said I do. And I have 3 biological children. I actually have 4 children. And I started to say that in the video that I sent you. I have 1 baby that's in heaven. And so together we have 8 living children, 4 adults and 4 minors. And we out here. We out here.
Y'all out there, a big old family of 10. We out here, we hitting these streets. Let me tell y'all something about Tamika. She is busy. Okay. If you check out her page, which we're going to drop all that information later, but between her prayer life, okay, her business, her momming and wifing, she going to get y'all all the way together today. So let me start by saying, I asked Tamika a series of questions, but we are going to talk about some of those questions, but we're also going to just talk like good girlfriends. So Tamika informed me that she was married 3 times. Sis, let's talk about it.
Listen, so I was married the first time, my first marriage, I was 18 years old. I grew up in a very, very religious, like Pentecostal, tongue talking, feet stomping. Yeah. Everything is a sin, church. Okay. My grandfather was the pastor. My dad was the assistant pastor. At 18 years old, I met my children's father, and he actually, funny story, he actually was 20 years old when I was 16. And that was the first time he approached me. And I was like, ew, creep, you know, like, I'm like, no, we ain't doing no R. Kelly stuff over here. So he literally waited. He waited until I turned 18. I'll never forget. I turned 18 on Easter Sunday. My birthday is in April, so sometimes my birthday falls on Easter. And this particular year, it did. I went to church, and he was there. And he said, you 18 now, sis. What's up? And so literally from him asking me for my phone number until, and I was pregnant. Like I got pregnant because I was out here trying to be grown and be fast. But because I grew up in that very religious mindset, yes. There was no dating. It was okay. Now y'all need to get married. So we got married. That marriage actually yielded us the 4 babies that we had. And I do believe that every single thing happens for a purpose. There are relationships that come into our life that are life-giving, that are life sustaining, and that are life, like they spark life into us. And I do believe that my marriage was with him was life giving. We were supposed to be together to bring life into this world with the 4 babies that we created together. After 12 years of marriage, we realized I'm not the same little 18-year-old girl, and he wasn't the same 22-year-old man. So we realized that it was not good for us to be together, and we went our ways after there was a series of infidelity and all kind of other stuff that went on. Hold on one second. One of these kids is cooking, and they got the fire alarms going. Hold on one second. Okay, it stopped. All right. So that is what happened. Y'all, this is real life. Listen, this is real life out here. You
real life.
Understand that you are a blended Black family, and if the fire alarm ain't going, the smoke detector ain't going to go down.
Right? Or somebody going to be knocking at your door talking about they need something, because they didn't need it 10 minutes ago when you were not busy, but now it's a need, girl.
Now
okay.
It is an emergency. Mm-hmm. So I think that was my first opportunity to practice healing while going through a divorce, because society, the world tells us that it has to be nasty. It has to be ugly.
Speak it.
Go ahead. Listen.
But see, I already knew what was going to happen when you got on here, but go ahead.
But we decided to do it different. So we actually spent a year separating for our children. We lived in the same home. We walked them because here's the thing, when you divorce, especially when there's children involved, it's not just y'all two divorcing. The kids are going through a divorce, all kind of stuff. The family is divorcing. So we had to walk our family. Remember, we was together since we were babies. So I went to high school graduations and I helped babies be birthed and all this stuff that happened while we were together, and vice versa. He was my sibling's brother. So I'm not going to, we can't just say, I don't like you no more. You don't like me no more. So we're done. We really, really did it in a very amicable way. It was healthy. It was whole. And I am an eyewitness to say in a living testimony that my children do not suffer because of the divorce that me and their dad had. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful separation. Now, there was times where I was like, I don't like this man, but my kids.
And that's okay.
And that's okay, right? But my kids didn't know that. It was very healthy the way that once we both knew that we wanted to start dating and that's when we knew, okay, it was time for us to separate. But, you know, our mind is the soil by which everything grows. So when we have bad soil and we try to put good seed in bad ground, it produces rotten fruit. Right. So my mind, the soil of my mind was not healthy. 6 months after divorcing my children's father, my first marriage, I was back into another relationship and walking down the aisle again. And it was so unhealthy. It was so terrible. But what I believe when you are healing, a good indicator to know if you're healing, what used to take you a year to get over only takes you a month. What took you a month only takes you a week. What took you a week only take you a day. That's how you know, like, okay, I'm really doing this healing thing. I'm really walking in it. And so I was married to my children's father for 12 years because insecurities, I don't want to be lonely. I don't want my kid, you know, all the reasons why we stay in marriages that I knew at 5 years, we were supposed to get a divorce. I knew that the marriage was over, but I strung it along for another 6-7 years. This time it was, one thing that happened is there was a lot of domestic violence. There was a lot of stuff that happened in my second marriage, but 2 years, it didn't take me 12
right.
years, it took
right.
me 2 years. And I was like, deuces, brother. And I was out of there, and I did it in a very safe way because there was domestic violence and there was a lot of things were taking part. Now, me and him didn't have any children together. So it was an easier split. Right. And then I really, really started healing, and I took 6 years.
That's right.
To heal. And I stayed single. I stayed quiet, and I waited well for God to present, because I knew from when I was 7 years old, Jamie, I knew that I was a wife. I knew at seven. A lot of people can't say that, but I knew I was a wife at 7 years old. And so I waited well for God to present me to the husband that I have today that we are getting ready to celebrate 6 years of marriage.
Amen to that. Okay. Testimony. That's testifying, because there are some people that will say, I was in this situation. So for what, let me rewind, because me and my oldest children were literally just having this conversation about the age gap, right? And how you said, yeah, I was 16 and he was 20. And I was like, no, you're going to wait until I turn 18. You're going to have to wait. Right. And so I was telling him back then, it didn't seem so taboo for a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old to date an 18-year-old or a 20-year-old, a lot because women are mature faster than mm-hmm. men, but also they had just left high school. Like, I saw you in high school. You literally just left and went to college. You ain't no real, you didn't see them as no man. Like, you ain't no man. You still a little boy who comes home and stays at your mama's house, right? So it didn't feel the way that, you know, now in society, we're like, okay, no, we can't do that, right? There's a bunch of rules to it. But I just love that you said, we decided, right? Mm-hmm. That it wasn't going to look like what society wanted it to look like. That I commend, because if you let family, sometimes friends, surroundings, and especially society tell you what's supposed to happen, your family will be going crazy.
A mess. Like,
things just, it will be a total mess. Your kids will be messed up and in therapy for a long time, because you just, instead of putting yourself, like, pushing your own needs and thoughts and whatever feelings out of the way, you like put yourself and your ego in the forefront, and then y'all can't co-parent. Like, right. We just want to do this parenting thing. Let's just let it be peaceful. You go your way, I'm going mine. Like, let it be that. I love that you said, we decided that it wasn't going to be that. So I commend you on that. Let me tell you, the second thing I wanted to ask about was when I asked you about describing your family dynamic or your family unit, you said it's complicated. Dig mm-hmm. into that a little bit.
Yeah, because as I mentioned, my husband has 5 children with his first wife. And so the relationship with my ex-husband, myself and my husband, is amazing. Like, my ex-husband comes over, help my husband cut trees. And like, we literally raise all the children together.
You guys are truly a blended family.
We are a truly blended family. His kids, my ex-husband's new set of children, they come over. We babysit them while him and his new wife go. It is a perfect blend. Like, however, my bonus babies, their mom has not bought into the blend. So that's why I say it's complicated, because my bonus babies are still 50% of her, and they live with us full time. 4 out of the 5 live with us full time. And so there's that friction. So it's very, God just gave me this image of like, if we were moving a piece of furniture, like a sofa or a couch, mm-hmm. and we are all holding up our end, but she's dragging hers. And so it makes it very difficult for us to move this, family into the direction that it needs to go, because we're like pulling and pushing instead of just all walking together and holding it up and very like equal and even. So that's why it's complicated, because she hasn't walked through the healing that she needs in order to, and you know, she doesn't see it the way we see it. And I have had to give up that. I'll never give up the desire to have it that way, but I used to kind of force it, because I'm like, it's possible. I'm living it. I know that it's possible to have this beautiful blend, but if she doesn't want it, it's just like any other relationship, right? It can't be just one-sided where one person wants it and not the other.
That's very, very true. It definitely has to be a cohesive, collaborative effort, especially in order to have the children feel like, oh yeah, everybody's in this, and for them to not have any certain feelings about it either, because I'm sure they've probably feel torn. It's like, this is our mom, right? But this is our family. I know Miss Tamika cares about us, or mom cares about us, right? Because we see it every day, we live here. Mm-hmm. But there's that level of like, that torn. So I want to go into, I asked you another question. I said, during the process of co-parenting or blending on the journey, you struggled with blank the most, and you were able to get through it by what?
And so I struggled with unforgiveness. I struggled with unforgiveness of my ex-husband, honestly. Although on paper, it was this beautiful like blending that was happening, I was hurt that, he moved forward and the things that he did with his new family, he didn't do with us, So I had a lot of unforgiveness and how he treated her, he didn't treat me. And I'm like, I set you up to be this man that loves and that does all this, and now she's reaping the benefit. And
Be
then
like that. It be like that. Let me sip.
get this, and then also unforgiveness of my bonus baby's their mother, because she put me through a lot of hell. Like she put me, and she continues to. And so every day I have to choose forgiveness. Every day I have to choose. Because when I look at my children, especially my sons, I have my two older boys are 24 and 22. I see their daddy. Even in my daughter, I see their father, and some of the comments that they make towards women or some it, but I have to remember, one, they're not him. And two, I have chosen to forgive him, because if I don't choose daily, like this is after us being divorced for we've been divorced for almost 15 years now. But we are still in a relationship. That's what people don't realize.
That's
Just
right.
because you are divorced does not mean that you're not in a relationship with that person anymore,
That's right.
especially if children are involved. So daily, I have to choose to forgive him so that I don't create a bitter root judgment and I don't get stuff stuck in my heart that prevents me from really being open to love my husband,
That's
to love
right.
my bonus babies, to learn my new love, my new extended family. And other people that God has placed in my heart that I am responsible for loving.
Amen. I hear that. Like that's huge. I think for me, it's always the recognition and the acknowledgement, you being able to acknowledge and recognize that you had that in you, which is how you were able to heal. Mom may not be even in the acknowledgement stage of it. Like she may still be in denial or like, this is not real. Or on the side that we were on, where what you just said, I set this man up and now she's reaping all the benefits, right? She might be there still. And so it's always interesting to watch the family dynamic. And I know that you still do all the things as a mom. I don't ever really see you. You've never called them like your bonus kid. You say, oh, I have, X amount, eight kids. And so that's what I know it to be. And because of that, I can see the genuineness when I see you all together. So I'm gonna let you take this opportunity to share your story with the community. And I'm gonna try to be quiet, Tamika. I'm gonna try not to be in the background like the church, like amen, amen, sis. All right, I'm gonna sit here. I'm gonna try very hard. Okay, let me sip.
I love sharing this story because, for a long time I felt like it was a fairy tale. Like I cannot believe that this is happening to me. And someone that has had like many trials and many traumas in my life, I didn't think that good things happened to people like me. So my husband, I remember, he slid into my DMs and asked me out on a date. And one reason people always ask, how did you know that he was the right one? After, we were texting back and forth via Facebook. And then there was a period of about 2, 3 hours that no response. And when you out here in these dating streets, that happens. And it's like, oh, okay, that was fun, whatever. On to the next, right? I'm texting the next dude texting me. When he responded, he was like, I apologize. I had to take my kids back to their mom, so I wanted to make sure that I was giving them like the time that they deserve. Listen, and I wasn't on the phone with you texting, so I do apologize, but I needed to. I was like, will you marry me? Okay.
You like the young girls now. Let me get the ring. Okay. I will ask you. It's okay.
That was so impressive. Like, I thought, now if he's willing to give his children that intimate time and have
Yes.
that time with them, how much more is he going to do for me and mine, right? Like,
That's right.
oh, it was just out. So it was amazing. So from there, literally, we went on our first date. And this is for anyone that's single and that is a single parent right now, and you're like, will they love me and my children? Will they accept me? Because I hear that a lot in my community, Jamie. Like, will they accept? Like, my kids are so people. I always hear people say the baggage of children. The first thing I did is I started changing my luggage, my language, and I said, my children are not baggage, they're luggage. Because there's a difference when you think of baggage versus luggage. Luggage takes you places. Luggage is something when, listen, luggage takes, when you are going on a trip, you don't grab your bags, you grab your luggage to get you to your vacation or your next destination. So I stopped looking at my children as baggage. And I said, if any man that comes into my life, they're going to see them as luggage as well. And they're going to see the value that they bring and how they're going to usher us into the next situation. So, me and my husband, like 2 weeks within us messaging, we went on our first date. And literally, like the rest is history. Within, he messaged me in September. In December, well, actually in November, so what we did while we were dating and we were blending, we did family dates. So me and him would go on a date. We would go on a date all together as a family. I would go on a date with his kids. He would go on a date with my kids. Like we like separately without me. Like we would, and then we would go with just me and his kids, me and my kids. And then like eventually, and then we would bring all the kids together. And it was almost scary, Jamie, honestly, because it was so easy. It besides, you know, having their mom, I'll never forget when he finally met my children's father. My children's father came and hugged him, and he was like, "What in the world is going on?"
Right.
But
I'm
it
not
was,
used to this.
I'm not you, right? But it was so much love. Like we cultivated a space of love, and so we made it very easy for our children to all love one another, for his kids to love me, for my kids to love him. I'll never forget when I was ready for him to meet my children. He came to my door and picked me up to go on a date, and I told my daughter, she was maybe 6 or no, she was like 7 or 8. I said, "Hey, go answer the door," because I knew it was him. And she, you know, she's little and she peeks behind the door. And then when we came back from our date, she said, "Mom, I like Paul. He has good energy." She
Oh,
didn't know
that's
what
right.
that meant, but she knew that
She
it,
knew.
she
She knew.
knew.
God,
Listen.
listen. Look, God is all up and through little kids.
All up in.
I wholly believe that these children know things we don't know.
100%, 100%. And so that was my biggest, like, if my kids like him, I know that this is going to work, because me and my daughter still to this day, you know, we were still sleeping in the same bed together. Like me and her were tight, tight,
Yes.
tight. And so I knew that that was going to be a change for them because it was always just me and them. But introducing him and introducing to their him his children into our family and us really blending has been like, I get emotional thinking about it because there were places in my heart that I didn't even know needed to be healed until I met them, until they became my children. There were places in him that he didn't know, that in my husband that he until he met my kids, until we came together. So literally within we met in September. We were walking down the aisle, and he asked me to marry him in December, and then we were walking down the aisle in July. But this was after we were supposed to get married in April, Jamie, and we called off the wedding 2 weeks prior to us walking down the aisle in April. Everything paid, folks' flights booked, folks, all the stuff. Like, right, he had family coming from Georgia and all over, and we said, we're not doing it. Thank you for wanting to come. We're not, because we were not on one accord spiritually. So I teach my community, there's five domains that of health, and the domain of spirituality, we weren't healthy there. And we knew the importance, you know, people say, if God's at the center of your marriage, if God, but Is he really like, are you willing to walk away from this person that you love in order to keep God at the center and at the head of your life? And because we weren't on one accord spiritually, we said, we're not going to do it. And the blessing of all of that, everything that we thought we lost, because the venue, we paid over $10,000 for the venue, for the dress. I had the dress, like all the things. And the venue said, well, you lose this. You lose it. It's too close to the time.
Right.
Like, you know, we thought we were going to lose everything. When we decided, okay, we're going to do this, we called our wedding planner and she was like shaking her head, you know, like, y'all can't with y'all. I was like, just contact the venue. I said, I know because we put God first. I know that everything's going to work out. Not only did the venue honor every single penny that we put into it, not only did all the caterers and all the people that we had already paid, but we ended up getting a refund for, like, because the date that we chose was less expensive than the original date.
Wow.
So I know that there's somebody that me and you both are in community with, which brought us together in community. And she often teaches us that when it's your seat, nobody can take it.
I know
Nobody
that's right.
can take it when it's yours. And so he was my husband. So not me and not nobody else could have taken it, and vice versa. So, I mean, I could go on and on about our story, but I feel like that's a good portion of how God brought us together and how God blended us.
Amen to that. My goodness. It's so interesting as I'm listening to your story. I'm like, oh, wow, some of our parts of it are very similar in like not the way that we met our partner, because I met my husband in person. I didn't want to date. But I also was in that space of like, after this was after X amount of 4 years after a breakup. And then, you know, you're the wedding, the breaking up of the wedding. And then I'm like, if me and him work out is cool. But if it doesn't, I can honestly say that I met an amazing man. And that was really all I was expecting. I wasn't expecting that it was going to continue. And here we are, 13, this will be 14 years married, 16 years together. Who would have thought? I wouldn't have thought. I would have never, never have thought. But here we are. And I love that you said making God the center. And when you saw that it wasn't the way you guys saw that it wasn't the way you wanted it to be, you were like, all right, the wedding is cute, but let's we about to have a marriage. Okay, there's a difference between a wedding and a marriage. We're about to have a marriage and we need it to be on solid ground. So I love that you all
Part,
revamped
Jamie,
everything.
that part, because so many people spend so much time idolizing and preparing for the wedding that they don't know how to do marriage. This
Right.
was not my first rodeo or his first rodeo. So we knew, like, I knew I cannot afford to do this again, like,
Right.
not financially, but spiritually, mentally,
That's
emotionally.
right.
I can't afford to do this again. So we have to have everything in order. And now here's the thing, because unpopular opinion, there's a lot of people that say, and some of our favorite relationship gurus that say, you need to be whole when you come into a marriage. I don't believe that to be true. I believe that in the marriage, you are constantly becoming whole,
Yes.
because they're just like these mirrors behind me. There are some things that I could not see until my mirror, which is my husband, showed me. There are some things that he can't see about himself until his mirror, me, shows him. And so many people are like waiting until they're 100. Now, listen, I ain't saying you be completely broken and you expect everybody, somebody to come and heal you.
Right.
There are some things that will not. Oh, listen. Eve was taken out of Adam. So that means that there was something in him missing until she was in communion with him, and vice versa. So we will never be 100% whole alone. So
Right.
that is foolish. That's rubbish. That is not the truth. You don't come in here bleeding on people, but you don't come,
Amen.
right? Don't come.
Please.
Now, let me clarify that, because you ain't gonna come in here bleeding. But you also are not going to come in here completely whole. Some things are perfected in marriage.
Yeah, definitely along the journey, you become better. Another person helps you. Even in friendships, you meet a person. And you may think that you're an amazing friend, but there's something that this friend contributes to the relationship that makes you a better friend. So over time with relationships, I definitely agree that it's never like you never come there as I'm 100%, right? Of whatever it is, people definitely can help add to that. Did you want to talk about the healing journey and how you all healed, or you specifically healed throughout this blended journey? And then I'm going to let you give your one tip to the listeners.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that I had to do that I had been previously to us getting married, I had done some therapy, like extensive right. therapy. I work in the mental health field, so I believe in therapy. I know therapy works though, but I had to continue on doing therapy. So I want to say like year two or three, there were so many triggers that came up, and triggers are just familiar. I believe that a trigger is a familiar spirit. Triggers happen in our senses, what we hear, what we see, what we smell, what we taste, what we feel. And a lot of times, until we're able, you use the a word that I love, which is identify and acknowledge those triggers. A lot of times we just push them off and we want to pray them away or fast them away, but you got to identify, because our senses are from God. That's a part of our physical being. And right. so these things kept coming up and I had to face them. And I went to therapy every single day. I don't miss a beat. And when I do miss it, I feel it. I journal. So I write five things that I'm grateful for. I write five things that I'm going to accomplish, because I think a lot of times what happens, people always tell me, how do you do it? Every single one of my kids are in sports. They're very active. I run a very successful business. I'm speaking all over the place. I'm doing all of these things, but it's because I really live in harmony with myself. And I put myself first. Unpopular opinion
for moms.
Popular opinion. I put myself first, and it starts with my morning routine. So I healed through therapy, through having consistency in my morning routine, through prayer, connecting with community, you and our other good sis, Shabri. Like, that has been times where I felt like throwing in the towel, giving it all up, having people that I can be in contact with that doesn't want me to be the mom, the wife, the coach. They just want me to be, and they allow me to be, and I could fall apart, and then they help put me back together. Community is so important. Oh, and then also communicating. I've had my biggest part of my healing journey is communicating my needs. So many women, our favorite word is I'm okay. Our favorite word, listen, I'm okay. We want to say I'm okay when really we're not. And so I had to learn how to communicate with my husband. I don't want to cook. I don't like cooking. I don't want, and it don't make me less of a wife, a mother, or anything. I'm heavy in my business right now. So I'm not going to go to the football game, or I'm not going to do these things. And learning how to live in harmony and not balance has really helped me in my healing journey.
That's beautiful. Yes, we definitely, as moms, women, will say, I'm okay, I'm fine, knowing good and well you are not.
Listen.
But what's one tip you want to give to the listeners about the journey itself?
I can't remember the tip that I submitted, but as I am talking, the tip that I want to leave is you can love as if you've never been hurt. You can love your children. You can love your spouse. You can love yourself as if you've never been hurt. Mm. It's possible. It is so possible.
You see how God did that? You were like, I don't remember what I said on the paper. God was like, that's because I wanted you to say something else. This nugget, nugget, nugget. Okay. Oh my goodness. That was so good. Tamika, I love your story. I can hear your story over and over and over again. Our stories definitely, you know, your story resonates with me. It's so interesting that we connected through different sources, like through a Christian community. Yeah. But when we started talking, like, we had so many similarities. I just love this conversation. And I love that you are teaching people to heal. So I want you to share anything you have going on right now. tell the listeners where they can find you on social media, all the amazing things, how they can connect with you. Let's go.
Yes. Well, again, thank you, Jamie. And I love, love, love what you are doing. You know, I just want to speak into your life really quickly, because so often we despise small beginnings, and I do not want you, the word of God says, don't despise small beginnings. It may seem like people don't want this content, but it's just because they haven't healed and they're not ready for it. But continue on. The race is not given to the swift or the strong, but he that endures. Your content is needed. It's valuable. It's important. And I am so proud of you for saying yes to the call. As far as me, you could find me on the social media streets at Tamika_Thomas all over. I do have a weekly podcast. It's Tuesday with Tamika, where I talk all things healing, all things elevation, all things restoration. And I've entered a new cornerstone, which is love. I truly believe that God wants us to heal so we can love again. Go to the link in my Instagram, where is where I hang out most. Go to the link in my Instagram. It's called Empower Her Boundaries Masterclass. I would love, love, love to have you on there with me.
Yay. So excited about that. Yes, girl. We're in community in terms of different communities we are in online, but we're also in community in terms of our prayer life. So we're always talking. So watching your journey has also been a blessing. Definitely seeing you as the healing master. And I appreciate all the love that you poured into me just now about, you know, the small beginnings, because it does get tough, especially when it feels like bio moms are not ready to go to that healing space. So listen out there, bio moms, if you are ready to shift your lives and you're like, I'm tired of not being able to co-parent easily with my co-parent, get on this calendar. It's 2024. We're not doing all that old stuff. We're not doing what one of your friends or your family members told you was okay to do. We are trying to do this much better than our parents did for the sake of our children. So Tamika, thank you again for being a special guest. Thank you so much for talking about healing, because it is so important. And everyone, you know where to follow her. Go find her. She hangs out a lot on Instagram. She's an Instagram girl. Do you do TikTok also?
I do. I love
it. She does. I was like, wait a minute. She's a TikTok girl too. So go check her out. Again, Tamika, thank you so much for your time and so much for being a guest on this podcast, especially since it's new for me. It feels so good to have my family as a guest.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Listen up. You guys can go follow her. You know where to find me. Tune in for our next episode. God bless you all.
But before we go, we got our prayer. So, Father God, thank you so much for my guest, my sis, my praying partner, Tamika. I ask that you just cover her family, Lord. Cover them with all the love and blessings that you can give. Continue to allow the family to heal, because all of our families that are on this podcast and beyond just need to continue to heal. It's a healing process that just continues. There's always going to be something that you might need to heal from, or always something that you might need to ask forgiveness for, or, oh, you know, just we have to show grace for. So I just ask that the healing is a continuous thing in their family, that you continue to show them exactly what direction you want them to go. And parenting 8 totally different personalities, God, I ask that you bless those 2 parents, Tamika and her husband, in a mighty, mighty way, Lord. I ask that you continue to give them the courage to stand for the things that they want in their families, but also the ability to have that wiggle room to say, you know, we're showing grace, we're doing healing, we're doing the work. God, I ask that you just continue to bless them, continue to bless them, continue to bless them, and all the families listening. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time.